Welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast, filled with marketing and leadership tips on launching and growing your business with your host, Deanne Mora.
Well, I'm here with Fred Vieira and Isabella Yagüe of the Vieira and Yagüe Law Firm, and both are practicing business attorneys. And so I thought we'd talk a little bit today about your story and your background. And so how long have you guys known each other?
So we've known each other now for about 4 years, I think, or close to 4 years.
Close to 4 years, yeah.
Yeah, we met at on our former firm. I was a senior associate and, well,
don't go there. He always thinks he was my supervisor. It's not true. It is just not true. I was my own person in my own department. So what made you guys decide to leave that firm and launch your own practice?
Well, so for me, it was, you know, I thought that I always wanted to do my own thing. I had actually been on my own before, and then I had left to go do my MBA and came back. And so for me, it was just natural that I did.
And for me, it was a little bit like finding more freedom, being able to have more flexibility and take my own clients and take care of them the way I wanted and offer them different pricing options that I was not able to offer.
Have more control.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so many people I talk to, business owners in Miami, are not actually from Miami. Or Fred, are you from Miami?
I was born and raised here.
You're one of the few. There's what, 10 of us?
Yeah. I mean, aside for a few years in law school and business school, I've been here my whole life.
Wow. And what about you, Lisa?
I was born in Venezuela, but I was raised in Spain. My mom is Cuban American. My dad is from Spain, so I have a little bit of everything in there. But yeah, I moved here when I was 24 years old to go to law school. So, and I think.
Interesting. And where did you go to law school?
University of Miami.
University of Miami.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the Miami connection.
Yeah.
And so you had your parents already decided to move here, and you
well, my parents kind of like go back and forth, but my mom had some more family here. She had a cousin, she had aunts, so it was a better option to be around someone, some family.
So there was a connection there.
Yeah.
Why business law? What was the attraction? Is that always the type of law that you wanted to practice?
So business law business is my first love. I was a finance major at the University of Miami and graduated magna cum laude, and I've always liked numbers. And somehow I gravitated towards law school, and I went to the University of Florida for the JD. I thought that, business law, it's where the most interesting and impactful situations are, interesting clients. I love startups. I love entrepreneurs because we are entrepreneurs. So I know what they go through. I know how hard it is, but I know how important it is to our economy. So to me, it was an easy choice to make that part of our practice.
That's great. And Issa, what about you? Has it always been business law?
I always saw myself working for a company, advising CEOs, making sure that everything is in good order for compliance. So, yeah, I started my legal career in Spain working for an insurance company, actually, who we kind of fight now. But so it's interesting.
Right.
But
you got to know them from the inside.
Right, exactly. So it gives me good inside information right now. So yeah, I worked before for different companies, and it always sounds interesting to me to help companies grow and be part of the team.
Hmm. Do you enjoy the courtroom, both of you?
I do. I hate to admit it because I get, a little frustrated sometimes with some of the things that are not exactly like law school pictured them to be. But to me, I need the fight. I need the argument. I like to write and I like to get my point across. I empathize with my clients. So, when I argue for them, it's as if I were the client. I do enjoy it.
Makes you great in family debates.
Yeah, hard
to win an argument against Fred at the dinner table.
So, I mean, actually, that's the thing about me is that I like to think that if I didn't tell you what I did for a living, you'd never know. Because outside of work, I try not to be argumentative. I really try to shed the lawyer image, when I'm not working.
That's true. Keep it going.
Yeah, so surprise, surprise.
And it concentrates it all, so he's ready to fight for clients.
Yeah.
And what about you? Did you enjoy the courtroom?
My favorite part of the courtroom is actually not the courtroom itself, but it's strategizing before going to the courtroom. I love taking on a case, and both Fred and I will just sit down and what is the business strategy, and then he executes it so perfectly so that, that I feel comfortable that he can do it. I'll do it too if I have to, but my favorite part is the meeting too.
It's really complimentary.
Yeah.
That you would be the way that it's worked out. Did you know that when you were both working together previously, or did it kind of evolve that way?
It kind of evolved, I think, more as we were working together and I was more involved in integration. Because at the beginning, I was more transactional. And then little by little, we started getting a little bit of the integration and participating in cases with friends. It's been exciting.
Yeah. When you think back to when you first passed the bar, you're now an attorney. Do you remember what some of your earlier clients were like back then?
Well, my first client was a construction company. I was in-house for a construction company, and I'm proud to say that 595 is my baby. So we built it together. Okay. I was part of the team there. I was part of the legal team. So it was...
So you're not responsible for the traffic?
No, never. But all these cool things that it does now, like change direction depending on the traffic rush hour and all that, I'm responsible for the good stuff.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. It was an interesting... job working with the civil engineers and being right there with the contractors here and there, whatever concrete we need here, whatever. It was cool. It was a different experience, definitely.
What about you, Fred? Do you remember your early clients?
So my earliest clients were, I started out doing insurance defense litigation. So I was defending insurance companies. Now it was, I got to see that from the inside. You know, needless to say, I thought that, not only was there more money to be made on the other side, but also I thought I could help more people moving over to the plaintiff side. So, I mean, I worked well with my clients and I actually achieved some published opinions that they still use today. But, you know, I knew that wasn't going to be the last stop for me.
You felt like it wasn't your passion as much. It wasn't. You have that feeling of, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs want to give back, or they're trying to find a way to make a difference in the world, which is really hard to do if you're in a corporate setting. Is that a feeling that you guys have as working with small business owners and defendants who are trying to fight insurance claims?
Yes, absolutely. I feel that for both of our entrepreneur clients that are starting their business and we're kind of like giving them, you know, legal services on a budget because they are starting out and we know that. So we're trying to help them grow and expand and create a sustainable structure. And I feel that too for our insurance clients because they are really fighting the little guys, fighting the big guys. And we're just helping them out, you know, the cost of their houses and making it better and their model and you know, and get over some damage that they may have.
You can sit back at the end of the day and feel like you've really made a difference in someone's life because, you know, the small business owners, obviously employing other people, they're supporting their own family. It's
helping out the economy.
Yeah. Describe your typical client, if there is such a thing.
I mean, on the business side, there really is no typical client. I mean, we've had clients come from all walks of life, different industries. We have had clients who are working on a patent for a new medical device, and then we've had a client that sells fish, you know, it's a wholesale fish sale. So there really is no one category, but they're all very entrepreneurial, very enterprising, very driven and hardworking people, and that's kind of the common thread that we see with them.
And you guys work with startups too, right?
Yeah.
That must be fascinating. Is it like Shark Tank where, you know, people have like these wild ideas and they're trying to figure out a way to structure it?
Kind of, yeah. We see lots of talent. I think that there's lots of people coming up with new mobile apps and different things. They want to make everybody's life easier. And I think there's a lot of great ideas out there and they just need a chance.
I love Shark Tank. That's my favorite show.
Me too.
You know, I love hearing ideas. I never hear an idea that I don't like. I always think it's something that can work somehow, some way. That kind of brainstorming. I did my MBA at the University of Virginia, and I did my concentration in entrepreneurship. So I'm familiar with what entrepreneurs go through, and I love it. And one of the things that we strive to do in our practice is to leverage technology to lower the cost so that startups don't have to spend a lot of money on the basic things that they need to get their business going.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because it's, you know, I think startups will often skimp on some of the important things like hiring an attorney because they think they can't afford it, and they're either funding off of their credit cards or they're funding off of family members and that, and it's somewhat intimidating, or maybe they just don't think and they trust the people who they're going into business with. Do you find situations where that sadly goes sour later on?
Yeah, that happens a lot, unfortunately. There are cases where you just go into business with a family member, with your spouse, and sometimes the things don't work out in the personal level and the business get affected and you didn't put anything in writing because you didn't think it was important. Again, you didn't have the budget, or you just didn't know any attorney who could help you out at a budget or meet your budget needs. So we do want to encourage people to seek out to attorneys like us. We can help them from the beginning, and we can work with the budget, and we can help them out and structure their business like it needs to.
Yeah. But like when you're dating and you don't think you need a prenup, and you've got this great business baby that you're creating, and you don't think you need the paperwork in place because everybody's excited about it.
Right.
Yeah. Robert Frost once said that good fences make good neighbors. And so that's what I think about when I think about drafting a good agreement. Is unfortunately going through that distasteful process of thinking about all the not so nice things that can happen, but it's actually a good thing to keep everybody in line and expectations in line.
Well, important too to protect your assets, to make sure that you have that separation between your business and your personal assets, because we all know that as excited as you might be about your idea, the majority of startups don't make it. And so if they don't make it and there's money involved, then what happens? When you think about becoming an entrepreneur, are there things that you've learned or experienced that you didn't quite expect that maybe weren't in the brochure when you were thinking about it back in college?
Lots of things. We're learning something new every day, I think, about our business, ourselves too, and it's interesting. But one of the things that I found that, very surprising to me about having my own business is that sometimes you feel like you're putting a lot of effort and time and investment even and money down, and you don't see the results right away. But when you do, maybe years later, they come back 10 times as rewarding as they would have been if you were working for someone else. So that's something that is really surprising and shocked me. I wasn't expecting.
This is like a laboratory. We experiment, we test things. There's like the saying, ready, aim, fire. Well, with entrepreneurship, it's ready, fire, aim. You get into it, you do something, and I think Mark Zuckerberg said, move fast and break things. And so that's how it's got to be. You got to just try things out. You can have the perfect business plan, and it's never going to come out exactly, for better or for worse, exactly like you planned it. So be adaptable, be flexible.
Yeah, and put in the work. I think I think people probably underestimate how much work it is to build a business and how many hours it is. If you want to work 9 to 5, go work for a corporate.
Yes. I'm in bed and I'm already thinking, things that we need to do, things that we need to develop, marketing, our marketing team is helping us out now. So I'm always thinking about what to do next for the business.
You have a hard time turning it off? But you find like it's just the gears are always going in terms of
there's
other
no
things you
button.
Could do. There isn't.
There's
that's
not,
the thing for a lot.
Yeah.
There is no off button
there's
for an entrepreneur. That's so true.
Yeah,
it's funny. My family used to give me a hard time, and now they just accept it. They know it. Because I love it. So, it is hard to turn it off. I think that's the passion that as an entrepreneur that you can bring to your clients, though,
right?
When you really do enjoy it that much. So if you're, if you kind of compare, because you've had the opportunity to work in a larger, more corporate setting, and then now with your own business, so if somebody's sitting in one of those firms today and they're feeling frustrated, but they've built up their clients, they've kind of built up a practice within the firm, but they're just not feeling it. What would your recommendations or what would your advice be to them?
I think that the practice of law has changed so that now mid-size and small firms can compete with large firms, because gone are the days where you need the big brick and mortar libraries. Now with electronic research, everything is as accessible to the solo practitioner as it is to the large firm. So if the relationship is there, has been built with the client, that's maybe 70% of it. And then the rest you can put in the work. So I would recommend go to take the plunge, do it. Yeah.
What about you? Same thing.
take a leap of faith. We often discuss how much attorney is a profession that is meant to be on your own at some point. Like, we are very entrepreneurial in a way, and it's all about the relationship with the client, like I said. So once you have that established, the sky's the limit. So I would say there's nothing that compares to the freedom of being on your own.
And do you think it's important to first get experience working in a larger firm before you launch your practice?
That helps a lot.
Learn from mistakes, preferably other people's.
But never assume that you're not going to be making mistakes around your own country.
That's true.
I mean, it's part of life. You just make mistakes and then you learn.
Yeah, I think it's true that you do need to work for a few years for somebody else, only because law school, there's a lot of room for improvement in law school curriculum. And because of that, I think that a lot of the learning takes place in the real world in the first few years.
If you would rewind back to now you're growing up and before you even entertained the idea of being an attorney, is there anything that you would have done differently as a kid, or anything that you would have studied differently or thought, kind of what would you have done to have prepared yourself differently?
To me, more than for being an attorney, for being an entrepreneur in any profession or anything, I think that the most important thing that I wish I would have done earlier is networking. Networking from the time you're out of the creek. Go out, network, meet people, because that's only going to help you personally and professionally in your life. That can only help you to meet people from everywhere in the world, from different professions, from everywhere. Like, having a good network of people, I think it has an invaluable value. You can.
I totally agree with that. I think networking and building relationships is the key, not just for business, but in life. I think the quality of your life is a function of the relationships that you have with people. And certainly in college, I was just an extreme student. I did a lot of, I was studying, I was working, and I don't think I focused a lot on having as much fun as I did in high school, but I think that...
Sounds like there's a story in there somewhere.
Yeah, plenty of stories. I agree. Networking is key.
Because that's how, as entrepreneurs, we really represent our business, and people do business with people they like. So, having those relationships, and I find here in town that the strength of business networks, the school that you went to, all of these things come into play in terms of connections. So what's next for the Fiore Yagüe Law Firm?
Well, I mean, we're very busy right now. We're in a growth stage. We're in a really good place right now, I think. I think we finally found the right blend of practice areas. So as far as practice area, I think the experimentation is over. We are set in our practice areas for the time being. And I think it's just managing investments properly, focusing on digital marketing, and investing in human capital, getting the right people around us. I'm excited. I think the future is gonna be bright.
Yeah, we're in a period of growth, and we're in a period of becoming more focused, and I think that's gonna be a great year, 2020. I have big expectations for 2020.
We all do. That's wonderful. Well, thank you both for being on the podcast with me today. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I've learned a lot, and look forward to seeing what's next for you. Thank you.
My pleasure.